Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Motherfuckers, this is Chris Miller, the host of Blue Ribbon Radio, and you're listening to the scumbag of scumbags, the dirtiest of the dirty, the one and only Donnie fucking Cash and the White Trash Revival Radio Show. Motherfuckers!
White Trash!
How do, motherfuckers? The White Trash Revival, episode 56. I am your host, Donnie fucking Cash. Start off the show with a little Fodder Shock. I'd like to have more music from Fodder Shock, but unfortunately, this is the only song I got. And it was called Eat Possum and Prosper. Now, if I made a song, it'd be called Eat Pussy, and that'd be it, because that's what I like to do. You know, I average about an hour between the sheets, folks. 55 a licking and 5 a sticking, like I said before. Hell yes. Got a good show lined up for you. Well, before I get into that, let me just say one thing. It is official. Yes, it's official. I have graduated to golf ball sized anal beads. Fuck yeah. What? Oh, you must be a fag, Donnie fucking Cash. Well, if I am, who cares? Anyways, try the anal beads. I mean, you can't go fucking golf ball size right off the rip. You got to start off with, like, marbles. Something like that. And let me tell you this. Right when you get ready to blow your load, when they fucking rip them anal beads out your fucking asshole, and each bead hits your prostate, like, you will shoot the biggest, healthiest, loveliest nut. That's right. It'll make you say, "Yes, Lord." All right, folks. Anyways, I got a good show lined up. I got an interview with Curtis Eller, the badass on the banjo. I hope you folks enjoy that. I know you will, because if you listen to my show, you have great taste. And I myself have exquisite taste. So, let me see here. La 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 la. Without further ado, let's get in this first set.
You motherfuckers.
Thank you. case you didn't see, is sober up or you'll end up like me, fucked up. Yeah, I'm fucked over her. And nowadays I'm just a little bit more sober.
Spends his day in pursuit of the deadly copperhead, cottonmouth, and rattlesnakes found in the woods near his home.
I got one. It's a million.
Like many people, Carl is deathly afraid of the snakes and their poisonous venom. Yet he continues to hunt, not for sport, but for faith. In fact, Carl is actually a reverend at the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
People today, they're coming back to old-time religion.
The main form of worship here is the worship of venomous snakes. Snake worship comes from a literal interpretation of the Bible, specifically Mark 16, verse 18, which reads, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly things, it shall not hurt them." That's not to say it isn't dangerous. Reverend Porter has been bitten 20 times to date, and children are not allowed to pick up the deadly serpents. Serpent handling is only one aspect of their religious practices, but in the end, it is the handling of serpents that these worshippers believe will lead them on the road to salvation.
Forget the ruins.
deep in all the creases on your face. I ran my finger up your arm, a map of our disgrace. But you were never mine. You're never really mine. But you were never.
Smoking you ever done, or any beer drinking, or liquor. It's just a feeling that you got that nothing can hurt you, and you ain't scared of nothing.
Despite holding these rattlesnakes that are capable of killing them with just one strike, these members of the Rock House Holiness Church aren't scared of anything because they feel they have the anointing of Jesus Christ. That anointing, they tell me, keeps the snakes from biting.
What kind of serpents do you handle?
They're copperheads, cottonmouths. Rattlers, just any kind of poison snake that anybody catches and brings in.
Bryce Anderson travels to this church from Dahlonega, Georgia. He says he grew up at a Baptist church, but as an adult, he started looking for more. He found it at a serpent-handling church.
Nobody invited me. I didn't know anybody. I just went. The first night I went, the Spirit just led me up there to take up a rattlesnake, and I drank strychnine that night, so I've been in there ever since.
And on this night, Anderson, like many others, handles a number of rattlesnakes. Snakes that seem almost lifeless when held by the anointed.
But I can't do it in the flesh. It's Jesus Christ inside of me that does it. I don't do it. And I don't just do it any and every time I go. When God moves on me and I know he's with me, then I obey the Spirit.
Also obeying the Spirit is 81-year-old Buny Summerford, the preacher's mother.
It's just a good feeling. It's just like, imagine somebody swimming on top of water. That's what I think it is.
And you've never been bitten?
Lord, no.
God protects you?
I just don't think they're going to bite me.
Pack my bags and my guitar and hit North 9 to 5. All the way to Fredericksburg in 17 I drive. Smoking in the Winchester and buy a six-pack of beer. Looking for that 522 that gets me out of here. My mind begins to wander, my heart begins to race. Can't wipe the smile from my face. Just hit 127, cross that West Virginia line. Took that old cutoff road, turned right on 29. Going up the mountain, twisting, turning, winding road. Free my hands up off the wheel, this truck knows where to go. My mind begins to wander, my heart begins to race. Can't wipe the smile from my face, I'm going home.
Take me home.
Put down on the brake. Cross that old Potomac. Now my hands begin to shake. Blowing in the old town. My palms begin to sweat. Sliding in the spring gap. My shirt's all soaking wet. My mind begins to wander. My heart begins to rest. Can't wipe the smile from my face. Looking out my window, there's a C&O canal. Winding in old 51, I see old Cumberland now. Lord knows she's a beauty, see those trains down on the track. My soul is so at ease now, just knowing that I'm back. My mind begins to wander, my heart begins to race. Can't wipe the smile from my face, I'm going home.
Alright, y'all, we started off this set. Well, actually, this set right here was a set of my good friends that have pretty much been with me since I've started doing this radio show. And I started off with Dogbite Harris, and the song was called Fucked Up and Fucked Over, and it's going to be his upcoming album. This was just a rough cut. And he told me that I was one of the only DJs that received the CD, and I do appreciate that. Thank you so much, Dogbite. That does mean a lot. Following that was Edwin Clarence Graves with a song called Map, and it's off his CD, Hobbling Off Into the Night. A little goth country for you motherfuckers. Check out my good friend Edwin. He's eerie and creepy, spooky, and so kooky. Edwin, I'll give you a reach round anytime, my brother. And ending this set was Ronnie Himes with I'm Going Home. Ronnie Himes, a little one-man band from the Carolinas. And he is on the Pint of Happiness record label, and that is the first person I've ever interviewed for the White Trash Revival. I love you, Ronnie. Yes, I do. Platonic and Brokeback Mountain type of love, my friend. Let's get in this next set. Sluts.
Well, I thought that it would be easy, but the joke was all on me. I was eluded, my country she eluded, and I couldn't get home for free. I was thinking with the thoughts. Just became my own. store, it just became my own. Just became my own.
Predict your future. You know, we've got these psychics and all these people running around calling themselves psychics and all this stuff, you know. But you realize that Jesus said in Mark 11:22 that if we could have the faith of God, and he wouldn't have told us that we could have something that we couldn't have. Whew, I'm going to say that again. Listen to what God says. God wouldn't steer you wrong. God will tell you how to make it in the midst of when you're not making it. Oh, I just saw you.
Something that I say, do you have to be right? Everywhere I look, I see your face. What mills have tried, but you can't be replaced. Maybe we just can't stop this. And baby, I can't seem to let you go.
Started this set with Barbecue Bob and the Spare Ribs with Thinking with the Wrong Head. Well, let me tell you this. That's the only fucking head I think with. That's right. Any decision I make has to do with my deck. Besides, this is the smartest of the two heads. That's right. Following that was The Merry Widow with Talking Shit, Spit Blood. Do I even need to comment on that? That's enough said right there. And we ended the set with a couple folks that are pretty close to where I live. They're down in the Cincinnati, Kentucky area. Kelly Thomas and Ryan Malott with Can't Keep Holding On. Now Ryan Mallott is in 500 miles to Memphis. That's right. All right, well, I got a bone to pick here, folks. As you know, you can find me on Facebook, Donnie F. Cash. And I like to post a lot of goofy stuff here and there. A lot of the stuff I post on there is offensive. But you know what? I don't give a fuck. And here's one of my posts. I put, condoms are so overrated and take away that delightful feeling. That's why I never wear one. Also, always, I repeat, always, share your needles when you shoot your dope. Even with a stranger, it builds camaraderie. So, a lot of people responded to it, you know, cool. And then I had Nathan Payne, whom I have played his music on the White Trash Revival. He put, I used to inject heroin, which is only one of the reasons I think this post is a load of juvenile shit. And then in turn I've put, which is true, I've injected, snorted, and smoked it. I've been clean, and I've relapsed. I've done things I'm not proud of to get it. I've hit rock bottom more than once. I injected my best friend with a dose that was for me, and it killed him. So I do believe I can joke about it all I want. And then Nathan Payne replied, I didn't say you couldn't joke about it. I said I thought it was juvenile shit. So you know what? Fuck you, Nathan Payne. You sensitive little bitch. You cocksucker. You know, I've probably been addicted to it harder than you was. So, kiss my ass, Nathan Payne, and fuck you, you will never get no plays on this show again. You're mediocre at best, although I do like one of your songs. Kiss my ass, suck my dick, I hate you. Let's get in this song called Cool Cool Water by the Whiskey Daredevils. Then after that, it's time for the Curtis Eller interview. Nathan Payne, once again, fuck you.
I was feeling Merle Haggard. I was too short of Johnny Cash. Looking under my seat cushions for $2 for gas. I'll get no back. We'll be right back.
All right, folks, with me on the phone, I have Curtis Eller. How you doing, Curtis?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Thank you for taking the time to be on my show. I've been a fan of yours for quite some time, and it means a lot that you're willing to do this.
Oh, thanks a lot. It's my pleasure. Nice to find some friendly ears out there.
Yeah. So tell me, Curtis, how long have you been playing the banjo?
Well, I guess I started when I was about, 13, something like that. I don't know, I've probably been playing about 25 years, something like that. When I was a kid, my dad was a bluegrass banjo player, so he kind of taught me how to play bluegrass when I was in junior high or whatever. And, I just couldn't get rid of it.
So what would you consider your genre of music? You wouldn't consider it bluegrass, would you?
No, not at all. I felt like I never really, although I knew how to play bluegrass, I never felt like I had anything to contribute to bluegrass. Like, I never felt like it was my home turf, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because I listened to a lot of rock and roll, you know, especially, you know, early rock and roll. So, in a way, I kind of consider what I do to be somewhere between rock and roll and just folk music, I guess you would say.
Okay.
You know, I slowed down my playing so that I could sing while I played. Because when I was trying to play bluegrass, I could never sing. So I found, like, a slow way of playing that's kind of a cross between bluegrass roll, and then I stole a couple of tricks from, you know, some of my friends that play kind of ragtime guitar, and so I got kind of a weird hybrid style of playing. I always tell people I'm a rock and roll singer.
Well, it is very unique, I must say that. You also do a little yodeling, correct?
Yeah, in a manner of speaking. You know, I listen to a lot of, you know, when I was finally getting up the courage to be a solo singer, songwriter, or whatever you want to call it, I was listening to a lot of Jimmy Rogers and Gene Autry, I think, thinking, you know, just seemed to hit the spot, you know, instead of trying to do a banjo solo or something like that, it just seemed like here's a moment to sort of, you know, do something musical with my voice that doesn't have anything to do with language. And it's, you know, it's kind of nice. I always try to get the audience yodeling along with me at all my shows, and people love to do it. The drunker they are, the better.
Now, when you do your shows, you pretty much interact with the audience, correct?
Yeah, I really, you know, because I record with the band, and when I can get good paying gig, I'll try to get the band together. But generally, for financial reasons, more than anything else, I started touring solo. So when you get out there by yourself, you kind of got to get the audience with you, because if they're not on your side, no one is, you know, when you're a solo performer. So I try to make the audience kind of like my band every night. I'm kind of a big fan of Pete Seeger, you know, because in person, he had this strange charisma and this hypnotic effect on his audiences. And he made a real art out of the sing-along. So, you know, although I have maybe darker subject matter than Pete did, I still think everyone likes to sing along.
So. Yeah. Well, how about we get into a song?
Sure.
And I would like to play, how about Save Me, Joe Louis?
Oh.
And how'd you come up with this song? I mean, you got some real unique songs, like, of a lot of history in it and stuff like that.
Yeah, I like to, you know, dig into those old stories, because they, you know, they're just like the news stories, but they have funny names and they dress weird and stuff. But that particular song is about something I read in a Martin Luther King speech, and the way the story goes is there was, in North Carolina in the 30s, they were making a switch from the electric chair to
That's pretty awesome, man. Well, let's go ahead and play it.
All right. And I'm from Detroit originally, so Joe Lewis kind of looms large in my memory.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Here's hoping things get better after I'm gone away. If I was there with you, I would drink myself blind. But these hard times could be here all day. And Mr. Roosevelt in the White House can deliver no comfort down here. And I know that it's only a paper moon, but it's the last hope to fight back this fear. I'm gonna call out when they drag me from my cell. Save me, Joe Louis. Save me. The last words that I'll ever say. Gas chain to take me away. Save me, Joe Louis. Save me. The last words that I'll ever say. Save me, Joe Louis. Save me. And let the gas.
Back. Tell me, Curtis, you got a tour, mini tour, or something like that coming up, correct?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle of it right now. Just a handful of shows down in the southeast. Last night I played in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And tomorrow I'm heading off to Knoxville to play at the Preservation Pub. And then I'm going to head to Nashville. I think the place is called Springwater. And there's some possibility that I may be doing a house concert in Bristol, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen. And then I'm also hitting Arlington, Virginia, back north. So, a little tiny tour.
Are you sharing the stage in Nashville with Josh Headley and the Hellfire Revival?
Indeed, I am, yeah.
Have you ever played with them guys before?
I haven't. Right. They got a lot of good people, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, down there in the country capital world, how do they take and how do they treat Curtis Eller?
Well, you know, I only played there once before, and it was a house concert. And it was in this beautiful house in Germantown, and the people were great. I played with this other sort of old-time musician named Allison Williams, and she was great, and the crowd was wonderful. So my memories of Nashville are great so far. I think that there's definitely like an underground scene happening in Nashville that doesn't really have anything to do with the, you know, sparkly radio side.
You like a large repertoire of music, so who's some of your favorites?
It's always hard, right? Because everybody listens to everything. But, you know, ones that sort of, I think, show up, the music I play, you know, Doc Boggs, banjo player from the 20s, that I really stole a lot of stuff from. I'm a big fan of, you know, a lot of 50s rock and you know, R&B, Buddy Holly and Bo Diddley. One for me, stuff like that. And then modern guys, you know, there's more modern, well, I think of them as modern, but songwriters like Randy Newman and, you know, Tom Waits, guys like this. So, you know, it's kind of all over the road, really, you know. The wider the variety, the better.
Yeah. Now, you got a wife and family, correct?
Yeah, I do. I have my wife is a poster artist and illustrator. Jamie B. Wolcott is her name. And we have a 3-year-old daughter named Daisy.
Now, does she go on the road with you or not?
Yeah, well, now they do because I am a licensed driver for the first time in 15 years. I used to do all my touring by Greyhound or Amtrak. But now that I got a car, bring the family with me, so they're here with me in North Carolina right now.
Wow, you did your tour by bus and train. That was probably very hard.
Yeah, well, you know, in some ways it was. It was kind of grueling, but at the same time, it also meant that I could sort of relax on the bus or the train and, you know, read or write. I didn't have to pay attention to where I was going. I guess that might be one reason why I do so much touring in Europe, too, because it's easier to get around over there.
Right.
By public transit, you know. Trains are really good.
So you've been over in Europe before?
Yeah, I go twice a year, usually April and October. And it's strangely turned into kind of my bread and butter gigs over the years.
Yeah, over there, I hear the music scene's a lot better over there.
Yeah, they have a real appreciation for live music. Culture is a bit more alive. Kind of reminds me of, you know, what the American scene looked like maybe 20 years ago. You know, like, what do kids do on a Friday night? They go see a band. So it's still like that over in England and other places.
All right, Curtis, how about we get into another song? And how about Sugar in My Coffin?
All right. Sounds good.
Tell me how the idea of that song came about.
Well, that's a weird one. I was like one song short for a record, and so I kind of dashed it off. I was like, well, you know, I had that joke in mind, Sugar in My Coffin. And so I kind of dashed off the song at the last minute, thinking it was going to be a filler, and we went in and recorded it brand new, and it came out all right, and people seemed to like it a lot. It's had a long life, you know. That one was a real pleasant surprise.
kind of busting up my place like you did last time. The drinks are getting weaker with every round they serve. The way they keep us sober, man, it's getting on my nerves. So when I'm dead and gone, I want some sugar in my coffin. TV. Well, he's shaking like an animal. Point that camera where I said, we need this white boy going crazy like a hole in the head. So when I'm dead and gone, I want some sugar in my coffin. Well, I said, if I've got to go, I want some sugar in my coffin. Well, I want sugar in my coffin. I want to cut the bitter taste. Cameras every place. I've been living with it just about as long as I can face. So if I've got to go, I want some sugar in my coffin. I want some sugar in my coffin. Yesterday, as President Lincoln lost his mind, well, they called him in the graveyard, digging in the mud. That's the father of our nation with a sickness in his blood. So won't you listen to me, mister? I want some sugar in my coffin. But the president's a liar, the country's falling in disgrace. If they're ever coming clean, they've got no time to waste. So if I've got to go, I want some sugar in my coffin. I want some sugar in my coffin. Sugar, mister, I want some sugar, mister. I want some sugar in my coffin.
All right, Curtis, we're back. So tell me what you got lined up for the rest of this year.
I got a few things coming up. Well, I got some writing and recording projects coming up. I'm trying to get a new album done, hopefully in September or October. My bass player lives in the mountains of rural West Virginia now. Get my drummer and him together, and we're just going to go out there and try to knock it out, try to make something pretty loose. I'm working on there's a filmmaker that's making a documentary on the history of butchers in New York City, and she wants me to write some songs for that, so that might turn out to be a little EP about butchers. So, it'll be interesting in the vegetarian take on butchery as interpreted by banjo. And then performance-wise, in September I'm going to be doing a little tour of Norway. I got booked to play 3 weeks of shows for Norwegian high school students, which will be really weird, but it pays really well. And then I'm free to do my own shows on the weekends and nights and stuff like that. So, and then what else? I guess in November I'm going to be out on the West Coast, Seattle and Portland and Vancouver and perhaps California if I get really ambitious. So that's everything I can think of. A lot.
Sounds like you're going to be pretty busy.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll be a banner year.
So, as far as this new album, do you have songs done, or what?
Yeah, I've got a couple of them sort of done. to, I'll finish up the writing, and with a little luck, I'll have a new one out real soon.
Maybe by the end of the year?
Yeah, that's my hope. That's my goal. And, you know, when you have a three-year-old daughter, all bets are off, scheduling-wise, but I feel like a wave of creativity coming on right now, so... All I need is like five more tunes, and I've got a whole record worth, so.
Okay.
Shouldn't be too monumental to overcome that.
All right, well, outside of music, what do you like to do in your spare time, Curtis?
Well, gosh, I don't know. I mean, you know, my life really is spent entirely, you know, I'm either playing music or hanging out with my daughter, you know, going to Central Park or running around Queens County or whatever. And, you know, my wife is, like I said, she's an illustrator and a poster maker. So, you know, visual art means a lot to us. So I spend a lot of time at museums and galleries and print shops and stuff like that, too. So, I don't know. I mean, other than that, you know, like everybody else, sit around and drink beer and listen to records.
Oh, yeah. That's what I like doing, drinking beer and listening to music.
Indeed. That's, you know, about the best thing that I've discovered.
Well, I bet going to a lot of these museums with your wife, that's probably inspired some songs, hasn't it, seeing some of that art?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's... I often, you know, my style of writing has got a lot of lyrically. There's a lot of, I guess what you call it, imagery in it. So I'm always looking for, I tend to think of like a scene as like a series of snapshots or postcards, and I try to describe them. So I'm always looking at how illustrators and designers and things will, you know, concentrate one image that seems to speak a lot. And
Well, are there any Curtis Eller groupies out there that you know of?
I don't know, and none that I know of, but, you know, lots of people come back to the show as well. It's really nice, you know, as I travel around, usually, you know, the first time I hit a town, there's only a couple of people there, because I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like, a solo yodeling banjo player might be a hard sell, but... You know, once they hit it, when I come back, they usually bring all their friends with them. And so every time I go to a town, there's usually, you know, a lot more people. And it just keeps building. And I feel like I'm getting to have, you know, pretty good friends all over the place. So, not groupies, but I feel like I'm getting to know people.
Yeah, right. Plus, the little lady probably wouldn't appreciate groupies.
Yeah, right.
But it's always nice, you know. Makes you feel young and vibrant.
Yeah, right. An old guy like me.
All right, Curtis. If someone would like to get some of your music, where could they pick that up at?
Well, if you go to my website, which is just curtiseller.com, you can buy the stuff there directly from me. And that's always good. If you're into downloading stuff, you know, of course, go to iTunes, or I've got a new Bandcamp page, which has got all the records up there to download, and it's a little bit cheaper than iTunes. So, but if you go to my website, there's links to everything else. So I would say the best place would be CurtisEller.com.
Okay. And how would the best way to contact you be? Through your, CurtisEller.com?
Yeah, just go to the website, and there's like an email link there, and you know, it's all me. I don't have anybody run these things for me. And you know, you can always find me on Facebook or MySpace or anything like that too. You know, it's the future.
Okay. Well, Curtis, what song would you like to end the interview with, sir?
Maybe Sweatshop Fire.
Okay.
Kind of like that one. I've been having a good time singing that one lately.
And how'd that come about?
That one, the chorus of the song is kind of about Jack Ruby, who's a fascinating character to me. He's the guy, of course, who assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald. And we all know who he was.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a hallucinatory kind of song. It's, you know, it's every verse is filled with different kind of historical characters, but the time period shifts around, and it's not really a kind of like a antique psychedelia, I guess you'd say, lyrically speaking, sepiadelic, I guess.
Okay, well, we'll get into that, and Curtis, I want to thank you for being on my show. I am a big fan of yours, and
thanks for listening. It's it means a lot to know that there's people out there who give a shit.
I do what I do for the artist.
I'm gonna burn like a sweatshop fire. Climbing up into the rafters, I'm gonna clip that angel's wire. I'm gonna lock the factory doors and let them sweep the ashes away. If you is holding out for the union to save you, well, I guess you just turned up on a bad day. 'Cause this time I'm gonna burn like a sweatshop fire. Getting drunk like Ulysses S. Grant. I'm going down to Antietam with a quart of bourbon in my hand. I'm gonna kick the shit out of Vicksburg, strip the silver from that dime. You better hope that the Confederacy come to its senses before I stop drinking. This time I'm gonna get fucked up like Ulysses S. Grant. And I'm caving in like a Pittsburgh mine, just as black as a Tuesday in 1929. From Memphis, Tennessee. And when the timbers start to rattle and the walls come down, ain't no Tupelo midnight got nothing on me. This time I'm caving in like a Pittsburgh mine. And just as sure as Jack Ruby's gonna set things right, well, there's always daybreak at the edge of night. And this time I'm gonna burn like a sweatshop fire. Of the year, I'm giving up on the church like I was never even here. Well, I'm gonna sink down in the springtime and burn out the boots like a frost. I'm gonna leave the county at the mercy of assault trucks, this high as black as any union bar. Gonna burn out the roots. And just as sure as Jack Ruby's gonna set things right, well, there's always daybreak at the edge of night. And this time I'm gonna burn like a sweatshop fire. I'm gonna burn like a sweatshop fire. I'm gonna
sweatshop fire.
Roy D. Mercer. I was calling you about the situation we had with a pair of shoes we bought down there at the Oak Park store.
Uh-huh.
It's my sister-in-law's boy. He bought a pair of shoes for him.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned out to be girl shoes.
Okay.
And she tried to take them back.
Uh-huh.
And they said it was all scuffed up and such, and they wouldn't let her to give a refund on them, so she had to take them back home. She's a widow woman. She ain't got a whole lot of money, so she had to make him wear them. And they teased him at school and such, made him upset.
Yeah. What kind of shoes did you buy, do you know?
Hell, it's a pair of black and white saddle Oxford, I guess. It looked like girl shoes down there. Them mean boys got him in the bathroom, little J-Damn Mercer down there, and tied him a pink ribbon in his hair.
Oh.
Yeah, hell, I know it. And they wrote homo in red lipstick on his locker. He didn't want to go back to school, and she kept making him go back. And then they finally found a training bra in his lunchbox, and she had to send him down to the psychiatrist down there.
Why? You're kidding.
No, hell, they cried himself to sleep, started wetting the bed.
Jeez.
Yeah, we got us a situation on our hands, and she got a bill for $225 from that psychiatrist down there. And he said it's going to take about 3 more visits before he get him turned around.
How old is the child?
He's 8 years old.
Hmm.
I said all he does right now is sit in his room and stare at Vogue magazines. They teased him.
Well,
And I need to come down there and get y'all to pay this $225 bill to this psychiatrist down there and go ahead and sign off on the other 3 visits.
Well, that I can't address.
There's liable to be an ass-whooping involved in it, because I'm pretty TO'd about it.
Well, as far as the issue on the shoes, we certainly would you know, could replace the merchandise there, but as far as
I can't tell you. Yeah, I think they done throwed the shoes out. Because he wouldn't wear them no more anyway. Now, his girl shoes on top of that. She's a widow woman. She works for the city driving salt trucks during the wintertime.
Yeah.
And she ain't got a whole lot of money down there. So,
yeah, well, I've got an 8-year-old son of my own, and I'm sensitive to situations at school, et cetera, so.
Yeah, she caught him in his room looking at pictures of David Hasselhoff without his shirt on there yesterday. He's pretty screwed up is what it is. And it's all because of shoes.
Well, I
just make a check out to her. You could make it out to Kadesha Mercer, or you could just make it out to me and I cash it for her, because she got to get that bills took care of to get that boy down there to get him some more help.
Yeah, I really don't know how to respond to that. I'm going to have to, you know, have you talk to someone else.
I'm getting a run around here.
I didn't talk to the store.
And they told me to call y'all, and I'm calling y'all, and I'm getting some satisfaction out of this, or there's going to be some ass whooping down on them.
Can you hold on 1 second?
No, I'll tell you what, I don't want to know where you're at and how to get there and how long you're going to be there and when I can come pick this check up.
Well, I can't write you a check.
Well, then you just get yourself ready for an ass
situation, but I certainly can't write a check.
How big a fella are you?
It's not my decision.
Yeah, you big old boy?
I think the best thing for me to do is just get your name and phone number.
No, I guarantee you the best thing you can do is write me a check or protect yourself for an ass whooping. Because I ain't going to stand it. Y'all sold a girl's shoes for a boy in the first place, so you're liable to get ass whooping for that.
Well, I mean, boys do wear saddle Oxford shoes. I'm sorry that he was teased, but, you know, it's, you know, we do sell them that way. But
Well, I'm
obviously sorry about the situation where the, he was teased at school.
Well,
he ought to be.
They got him down there and tied a pink ribbon in his hair in the bathroom, and I tell you what, his mom was afraid that he might just turn sissy and be a Jayhawk fan as well.
who is this.
What you need to do is make out a check to Dr. Jody Fund. That's the psychiatrist we got him seeing.
High up on the mountainside, there grows an ancient tree. Its story has been handed down all through my family. A vile, twisted, evil thing that stood the test of time. Through wind and rain and hurricane, and still the tree's alive. But tonight, it's coming down. I'm gonna put it on the ground. The hanging tree. The year was 1864 when a band of rebel men were captured by the Union boys. That's how the tale began. They hung them up and shot a man before they cut them down. Their blood ran down the trunk and fed the roots down underground. But tonight it's coming down. I'm gonna put it on the ground, the hanging tree. I've heard that it's been there since before the dawn of man, but I'm the one who'll bring it down tonight with these two hands. Convinced the evil thing they done was strengthening their reins. But tonight it's coming down. I'm gonna put it on the ground, the hanging tree. His job down at the mill, and then he fell into a world of alcohol and pills. Mama left the only thing she took with her was me, and Daddy climbed the mountainside toward the hanging tree. But tonight it's coming down. I'll put the damn thing. Before the dawn of man, but I'm the one who'll bring it down tonight with these two hands, the hanging tree.
A mountain is something that's in the way. You either go over them, around them, or through them, but you can get, hold it, I'm sorry, I missed it. Around them, over them, and through them, but you can remove them.
Yeah.
money cometh. Believe the things you say shall come. Money? Money? Come!
Standing in a honky-tonk the other night, pocket was empty, head was feeling light. Swaying right there in the middle of the room, when somebody shouted, sit down, we're all waiting for Big Baby Boogie. Big Baby Boogie. Big Baby Boogie. Boogie on the barroom floor. Sat right down, took a look around. All eyes were fixed and waiting for the sound of a nickel falling into the jukebox slot. It seems like the whole gang's here just waiting for Big Baby Boogie. Big Baby Boogie. Big Baby Boogie. Boogie on the barroom floor. Everybody cheered as a door swung open and she appeared, just a shaking and a moving with her every song. I know why they came along, just waiting for Big Baby Boogie. Big Baby Boogie. Big Baby Boogie. Boogie on the barroom floor.
Started off this set with Blue Moon Rising with the song called Hanging Tree, and that's a real good little bluegrass band. I do dig them. We followed that with Graveyard Barbecue and Cheat on the Church. Now, you could cheat on your wife and you could cheat on your husband, but you never fucking cheat on the church. That's right. Jesus might bitch smack you if you try to cheat on the church. Ending the set was a band from the UK, Western Electric, with Big Babe. So, before we get into this last set, remember, next week I got Tex Troster from the Groovy Rednecks that's going to be on. And I got many, many things to come in the future. I got a lot of interviews and guests going to be on, so I hope you folks stick with me and enjoy my show. I enjoy doing it and introducing you to new music and shit like that. So let's go ahead and get in this last set.
I don't like her, she don't like me. We look at each other infrequently. Well, she's on the wrong side, and I can tell that from here. She's into someone we all know, and it's very clear what she wants. Well, freedom dances on an endless one. While a downhearted juggernaut, she's playing tricks with your life. Whispering tall tales of truth from some kind of legendary past. While a manacled miracle waits for something that's gonna last, and so it goes.
you better come out. Well, the man who recognized the man who mistook his wife for a hat tried to tell me she didn't know anything, and she preferred it like that. She got my brother's ear and my sister's eye. She got them all caught up in the same barbed wire, and it really hurt. You better come home. You better come home. Jealousy stirs, it's the poison that heals. Emotions tainted me with shadows that really feel. And the only way out there is to go straight through. The end is always tragic, it means nothing to you or who you are.
Isaiah 46:10, preacher, God declares the end from the beginning. If that ain't predicting your future, I don't know what is.
Seasons are changing and the days are still cold. Thank you.
battered guitars, hearts full of rhyme. And the newness of love always goes with time. Taking you with me wherever I go. It's the way you get to me, eyes so green, your Merle Haggard t-shirt and your faded blue jeans. In your Merle Haggard t-shirt and your faded blue jeans. Now the seasons are changing and the days are still cold.
The gods will receive into the underworld the spirit of Ankh-Zanaman, but not for long. Osiris will release thy soul.
On the day my mama died, she called us all to gather by her side. Shook her finger at my dad, said it's time to let me ride. The sun is sinking with the ebbing of the tide. I ain't afraid to die. I know I've got a home up in the sky. When the reaper walks in, I'll grin and look him in the eye. I ain't afraid to die.
We started off this last set here with a group from Australia, all the way down under, mate. And it was the Winchester Brothers with the song, You Better Come Home. My wife's told me that a lot, but I'm scared to go on the run because she'll have my ass. We followed that with Buffalo Fitz with Merle Haggard t-shirt. And we ended it with a bluegrass tune by Kathy Boyd in Phoenix Rising with I Ain't Afraid to Die. Well, let me tell you what. I am. That's right. All right, well, I think that's going to be it for my show. Check out some of my friends' shows. Check out Chris Miller's Blue Ribbon Radio. You can find that at blip.tv. Check out Joey Fuckup's Cheap Beer and Barbecue. That also can be found at blip.tv. And check out Dogbite Harris's Dogwater Radio. It, too, can be found at blip.tv. I back them boys 110%. So, yeah. We're going to end it tonight with a guy by the name of Christoph, whom is friends with Danny Trashville, my dude from Oklahoma. And this song is called "You're Going to Drive Me to Drinking." Well, my family don't have to drive me very far. That is right. All right. I'll see you folks on 57. Later.
I come home late at night. I hear you bitching on about the way things are to be. It seems all we do is fight, and it makes me feel so low. Well, baby, this life just ain't for me. You're gonna drive me to drinking and staying out all night. Come stumbling home the early morn. Gonna drive me to drinking every time we fight. And this time I'm gonna leave you for sure. Hear you shout, it fills my heart with doubts. Why can't you just let it alone? Every time we have it out, I head to the bar and pout, drowning my sorrows to the early morn. You're gonna drive me to drinking and staying out all night. I come stumbling home in the early morn. You're gonna drive me to drinking every time we fight. And this time I'm gonna leave you for sure.
What are you still doing in that computer?
I'm sorry, baby, but...
Do you know what time it is?
No.
Come to bed and fuck me now.
Okay.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, a world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.